One of my absolute favorites. He's become a fan favorite, so to speak, an audience favorite, the Power Hour favorite, and a friend of mine, Daniel Estlund. He's a geopolitical analyst. He has ties to intelligence communities outside of the United States, which is what I love. I want to hear some intelligence outside the United States. The Central Intelligence Agency. Yeah, right. Daniel Estlund, he's author, Shadows of the Presidency, is the book. English.danielestlund.com is his website. It's always a pleasure. Daniel, welcome to the Power Hour.
How are you, sir? It's great to be on your show again.
Yes, as always. There's a lot going on. I got a story earlier this week in Russia. Putin gave a State of the Union kind of thing in Russia, and half the government then resigned. That's what we're hearing. It's all breaking. We don't know what the truth is. What is the reality? What is going on?
Well, we do know what the truth is. Half of the government didn't resign. He basically fired the entire government. Because, again, you have to understand, I've spent about 3 hours of my very valuable time watching American pundits on television talk about this stuff. And then, I realized something. Because I don't watch television, like, ever. I think the last time I turned it on was, I think, must have been about 20 years ago. But I spent about
and
three hours
for
watching
it.
What all these, pundits, quote-unquote, experts on Russia from think tanks and foundations and government officials. And one thing I realized? They all read Wikipedia. That's their only source of information. They don't know anything else. And it shows. So let me explain what happened. Wednesday is the event, 15th January, need to be explained. Putin's State of the Union speech. Also, the date itself was strategically chosen. 15th January 1920, 100 years ago, was the day when the Bolshevik Russian forces captured Kolchak. General Kolchak was a general of the White Army. Brutal murdered tens of thousands of people. He was also a secret agent of Winston Churchill. So the date was chosen very well. It's a message to London. Again, you have to understand that Putin is not the government. Putin is president. He's above government. What you have in the United States is a system where you have the president and the vice president. In Russia, it doesn't work like that. The head of the government in the United States is the president. The head of the government in Russia is the prime minister. Putin, as the president, as the image of the Katakhan, somebody who is above the government, he fired the prime minister who is in charge of the government, because the government, since the Soviet Union's collapse back in 1991, is a liberal banking financial institution working hand in glove with the West. Their main objective is to dismantle and destroy the country. And so by firing the liberal banking financiers, Putin is sending a very strong message that what you and I have talked about for the past year and a half, you're actually seeing right now in Russia. I talked about the left anthropological turn. We're seeing it. So the only guarantee of security for Putin, his team, and his family after the end of his presidential term, which might be in 2024 or whatever that may be, is the implementation of the new Yalta, new Bretton Woods program, which we've also discussed, which he must organize and successfully implement. Any internal Russian constructions that do not appeal to the external factors give him no guarantees at all after he leaves government. Now, this is due to the fact that the economic situation in Russia is rapidly deteriorating, and maintaining political stability in such a situation is a very big question, even if we're talking about an interval of 2-3 years, and especially, we don't know what's going to happen between now and 2024. At the same time, because as I said again, Russia, since the last trimester of 2012, is in a perpetual decline. That's 29 straight trimesters that the country is going down to hell. So at the same time, these situations can only be changed if Putin is able to wrestle from the liberal banking elite. Again, prime minister doesn't represent the interests of the Russian nation. He works for the International Monetary Fund. The general director of the Russian Central Bank, Nabiullina, who in 2015 was given a medal as the best banker in the world by the International Monetary Fund, works directly for the International Monetary Fund. She doesn't take orders from Putin. Russia's economic policy is not written in the Kremlin. It's written in the offices of International Monetary Fund in Washington. Just to give you an idea, think of if America's economic policy was written in the offices of the European Parliament in Brussels, as opposed to in the United States. At the same time, again, this can change if Putin can wrestle from the liberal banking financiers, the monopoly levers of financial and economic management. Given the accumulated assets during the privatization process, which has been going on for a quarter century, and strong support from transnational bankers and their institutions such as the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, et cetera, it is practically impossible to do this with purely domestic resources. What does it mean? The liberal group itself, which I've been describing for many years, quite deliberately creates a barrier between Putin and society, because again, Putin represents the people, okay? He is not the head of the government. And so to get rid of Putin, the government itself is doing everything in their power to get the people to rise up and get rid of the president, saying, well, it's you who is responsible for this. Well, how are they doing this? By constantly worsening the living conditions of most of the country's population. For this, the government, meaning the entire economic and financial apparatus, meaning the prime minister, meaning the banks, the central banks, the planning the institutes within the government, the use of policy of, for example, restricting economic growth. As I said earlier, the country has experienced an economic recession for more than 7 years. Also, a constant increase in the tax burden against the backdrop of an economic recession, which is, again, something unheard of. The adoption of large number of economically meaningless but extremely socially unacceptable laws such as pension reforms, such as juvenile reforms, where they can literally take children away from you if you missed a couple of payments to the bank. And the critical point has already been passed. After the pension reform of summer 2018, for the first time, the society is now firmly convinced that Putin's policy and the liberal banking financier policy of the government completely coincide. The main external resource for Russia and Putin is the current U.S. President Donald Trump, who's fighting the same transnational bankers at home. His positive attitude towards Putin and Russia is connected with the fact that they have common interests in the fight against financial globalism, and this is what allows us to talk about the potential new Yalta as the very real project shortly after the 2020 elections. But precisely because for Trump, any compromise with the liberal elite at home is out of the question, and again, it can be clearly seen from the way that U.S. election campaign is going on, Putin must simply curb the liberal elite group in Russia for the success of these external projects. Without controlling the liberal banking financiers in Russia, who represent foreign liberal global interests, you can call the deep state, whatever you want to call it, okay, there will be no salvation for Russia and thus no salvation for Putin. The trouble is that it's not easy to do because liberals run the government as they do in the United States. It's not a question of removing a person. It's a question of removing a cancer that controls the entire society. You can see it again in the United States. I mean, Trump can fire Bolton, he can fire Pompeo, he can fire Abrams, and he can fire three or four other people, but the structure itself has been there for the last 7 years. So from a purely bureaucratic point of view, in order to deprive the liberal elite group of a monopoly on financial and economic policy, it is necessary to create many economic departments, including among state institutions, which cannot be dispersed as easily as they were in mid-1998 before the default in Russia. And this is exactly what Putin did in his message. He strengthened the State Duma. He strengthened the Constitutional Court. He strengthened the State Council. And it has nothing to do with what we're seeing in The Economist and Wall Street Journal and CNN and NBC, where they're talking Putin wants to have the secret plan to stay in power, you know, perpetuate his hold on power forever. No, he doesn't want to do that. But he understands that for us to survive as a country, we've got to get rid of the liberals. Furthermore, I'm almost finished. With the removal of the government, what Putin did is he broke up many ties with a systemic liberal lobby globally. And with the appointment of this new prime minister by the name of Mishustin, he untied his hands in appointing people who are united, okay, against the interests of the government and who are not members of the liberal elite group to key positions. So the key role will be played by who will be appointed to key ministerial positions, which we'll see very shortly. Again, returning to the main point, given the scale of economic crisis in Russia, okay, trying to survive until 2024 elections in the framework of maintaining current trends and maintaining, albeit relative, stability simply will not work. People are really, really mad. They're so mad that they're willing. Again, up to this point, Russians understand if we go up on the street, you can have a demonstration, then you're going to have a revolution, and then we're going to have another liberal government and another dismantling of the country as we witnessed in 1991. So the liberals are doing everything in their power to get people to come out, and they're not coming out. But on the other hand, any reforms within the framework of maintaining the monopoly of the liberal elite group of financial economic policies will not lead to anything either, because a policy of worsening the living standards of the population, coupled with the active liberal propaganda, as the experience of recent years has shown, leads to liberal success because the people are really angry. And this means that it's absolutely necessary to move on to a policy of economic growth, which is impossible when the liberal banking financiers control the government and control the central bank. And one final thing. So I've explained this many times, and I've, you know, on this show, Daniel, we've talked about the left anthropological turn in Putin's politics. And now we're seeing this turn. Putin is not a communist. He's not a Stalinist. He is a right conservative like Donald Trump. But the left anthropological turn is, again, towards a different country, a country away from the liberal global banking financiers. Putin talked several times openly about the end of the Bretton Woods model. Yes, it began much later than I thought, but objective conditions, okay, in the current situation make the movement towards this left turn virtually uncontested. The government, I have a hypothesis that this is not the last government. This government is going to last a very short time. It's a caretaker. So the new prime minister, he's there to do what needs to be done, and then he's going to go away and somebody else is going to come in. Somebody who is right now being groomed by Putin to take over the government. But again, you can't do that too openly because the liberal banking financiers still control large swaths of power globally.
That's a lot of information. Obviously, we're seeing reports here. It's similar to reports overseas about Donald Trump. I mean, they're marginally accurate at best, it sounds like. Let me give you a summary. You correct me where I'm wrong. For a long time, you've seen the bankers get their hooks in Russia. the bankers, they're so entrenched that the economic policies are really now directed at the IMF level, not even at the local sovereign level of Russia. Putin is in the middle of this and represents the people. He's popular with the people, but how there's a delicate balance of how do you rip out this cancer without killing the whole thing or get himself killed while doing it. He obviously needs support. He obviously needs the right time from a coagulation of events. Now's that right time, and he's starting to make that move. The question I have for you is, he must feel secure enough to do it where he didn't before. Is something changed where he feels he has the backing of the United States or the backing of China, the backing of somebody?
First of all, your summary is very correct. What has changed is that Trump won the elections in 2016. I said it before when I wrote my last book, In the Shadows of the Presidency, about Trump's ascension to the White House. The thing is that I explained my book, and people, again, it was something that most people didn't quite understand initially. But I said that Trump is the continuation of Barack Obama's second-term economic policies. Because, again, what changed is that Trump won the presidency. But the thing is that, you see, between 1944 and 1991, you had two economic models. You had Western capitalist model, United States, Western Europe, etc., and you had the socialist, the Soviet, and the satellites model. And these two models, they coexisted between 1944, that's the signing of the Bretton Woods Agreement, and 1991, the collapse of the Soviet Union and the satellites. And in 1991, these two models became one global financial model based on liberal principles and Washington consensus. And this model worked until about 2008. And that model was based on continuous expansion because capitalism needs markets that are in a continuous state of expansion. What had happened was, again, for that you need a resource. And that resource is the emission center. You know, speaking in plain English, the little machine that prints money. Okay? As long as you can print money and redistribute it amongst the people and get them to spend it, and then money here, but you build stuff in China or somewhere else for cheap, then things work. But the problem is that because planet Earth is a finite space, it has its limits. And what had happened was, why did it work between 1991 and 2008? Because the West, which again was going through serious economic trouble, conquered the Soviet space, which is 40% of the global market. And suddenly they had another 15 years, okay, of unimpeded, uncontested growth because that space was conquered by the West. But that space is also limited in its extent. And so by 2008, with the collapse of the Lehman Brothers, the subprime, what they call the subprime, which really isn't subprime crisis, was a crisis, systemic crisis, civilizatory crisis of an economic model on its deathbed. Okay, we reached the limits of growth. And so in 2008, the alternative group to the liberal banking financiers. And again, if you look at all the presidents in the United States since Richard Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush 1, Bush 2, Clinton, all of these people, they were all liberal banking financiers. And it doesn't matter what party they belong to. Because, again, it's not about, you know, party politics. Because the Democrats and the Republicans, the only difference between them is how they understand abortion. Everything else is exactly the same. They're willing to kill as many people as possible in the name of democracy. But then Obama came in. Okay, and in the second term, beginning with what had happened was in 2011, okay, the global banking cartel, they understood that the only way they can survive a limited time longer is if they took control of the United States Emission Center. In other words, the American dollar would become part of the global financial system that they controlled. Because what had happened in 1944, okay, they never got their hooks into the Federal Reserve. They controlled it, but not to the extent that they wanted to. I mean, they controlled the European Central Bank, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, but they needed to totally control the American Emission Center. And so in 2011, there was an agreement between the global financial cartel and the bureaucrats, liberal banking financiers in the United States, that the control of the Federal Reserve would come under the global financial cartel. It had a name. It was called the Central Bank of Central Bank Project, which is today's Bank of International Settlement, okay, in Switzerland. Obama, if you remember, by imprisoning the president of International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, in 2011 for an allegedly raping or trying to rape some woman in a hotel in New York. That was all nonsense because he was let go. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was let go and he went back to France. But there was a message that he sent to the global financiers that he was not going to allow them to control U.S. Emission Center. And then in 2012, Obama wins the elections, and immediately, for the first time since Reaganomics in 1981, Obama fires from his economic council all of the globalists from J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. In 2014, he stops the quantitative easing, the emission, and in 2016, you have Brexit and Donald Trump. And so, to answer your question, sorry for the long explanation, I needed to explain that, otherwise it would be impossible to understand. Putin, okay, only beginning with Trump's election in 2016, realized that he had a very powerful ally in America who, together with him, because Trump is not a person. Trump doesn't represent the Republican Party. He can talk about 95% of people in the Republican Party are happy with him. It's all nonsense. Trump is not a president of the Republican Party. Trump is an alternative global project. Okay, he's not a person, he's a project. And that project can work with other projects such as Xi Jinping in China, such as Putin in Russia, to dismantle global liberal banking financier system. And what we're seeing in China with Xi Jinping fighting his own liberal banking financiers, Russia, where Putin is fighting his liberal financiers, and Trump in the United States fighting his global liberal banking financiers. Okay? It's a global fight for survival. And for the first time, we're seeing that the elite cannot sit down and work this out because it's no longer countries fighting each other, but global projects. And these global projects go back hundreds of years, and they're cardinally different. So now Putin has made his move. And the liberals in the United States, with the impeachment, they're putting together a color revolution against Donald Trump. And this is, I want to explain it, because again, we've seen what color revolutions look like globally. Well, welcome to a color revolution made in America for America.
Wow. The music's about to start here in about 20 seconds. Let's get right to that on the other side. Donald Trump right in the middle of it. The color revolution that's coming. Also China. What's going on with China right now? This whole new NAFTA agreement. Where does that? Virginia? The guns? Is this part of it? Wow. What a first half hour.
Conceptually, it's all part of it. Okay? That's what we're going to do after.
Stay tuned. Yes, English.danielesland.com. In the Shadows of the Presidency is his book. You're listening to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Don't you dare.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
At the Power Mall, all the great products that we've coagulated over the years. Joyce, of course, started the Power Mall, Miracle Dew Soap. We got a lot of new products over there. If you've never ordered from us, or if you haven't ordered in a long time, why haven't you? We got some stuff over. Buy from the good guys. Will you support us? You get 10% off on your first order with first 10 at checkout or, when you call Jay. So check that out at thepowermall.com. REM Sleep is on sale. Super Silver on sale. Strauss Heart Drops. We now have the cinnamon flavor and, the detox clay powder. Of course, all the other vitamins that are grown by nature and the detoxidine with the iodine, the B12, the vegan safe B12 under the tongue. You don't need a shot anymore. Check that out. See how it works for you. All at the Power Mall and more. We are driven by you. We do not get checks from George Soros's or international IMF front companies. We get them from you. That's why we stay independent. That's why we stay here and have people like Daniel to be able to express these opinions. ThePowerMall.com. Thank you so much for your purchases, your donations, and your support. If nothing else, buy some toothpaste. It's the best. And the mouthwash is fantastic. And the deodorant. That is awesome deodorant. ThePowerMall.com. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Getting back to Daniel Estlin, who is giving us really world-class information, intelligence, and overview, that we can process. Last week he was on, we talked about the Middle East. We talked about Iran and what was happening there. Now, the global positioning, you're starting to see some things turn that we've talked about for a long time. In America, getting away from Russia for a second, at the same time, Russia is going through this upheaval, this change, one inch at a time, digging out these entrenched bankers. In America, you have a very big flashpoint coming up Monday, the event in Virginia. Virginia has been pushing extremely hard against guns. That is not kosher with the people in Virginia. The Second Amendment, the America, basically the foundation of our country, is at stake here. And people are rallying all over the country. You're seeing Donald Trump in the middle of a bogus, no legal standpoint, really, impeachment. You have all this going on. What is it that we're seeing here, Daniel? This is important, I think.
Well, what we're seeing is a color revolution made in America. Most Americans think that the color revolutions is something that happens in distant lands with people with a bad body odor who wear bed sheets and bedside slippers for shoes. But it's actually what you're seeing is the early stages of the color revolution, the physical part of it, of color revolution in America. The first thing we should keep in mind is that the impeachment process itself, it's not being promoted in order to carry it out. Democrats are not stupid. They're thieves, just like the Republicans, but they're not idiots, and they're very aware that there's no chance that this impeachment thing will thrive. So from my point of view, the impeachment circus was made to have as many people as possible in America believe the idea that Trump is not a legitimate president. Because if this idea, if it becomes popular, if it sticks, it allows, theoretically in any case, to start an operation like the one which was organized against Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, Gaddafi in Libya, Assad in Syria, Milosevic in Yugoslavia, and Yanukovych in Ukraine. We know how all these ended up. The short-term goal is to corner Trump. And there are many ways to do it, and American intelligence services have great experiences in overthrowing legitimate governments throughout the world. One of the proven and perfected tactics is to force Donald Trump to disperse a peaceful, quote-unquote, demonstration, with a consequence of large number of dead bodies, and then show it on television. That is, to carry out the scene of the color revolution within the United States. After that, the liberal group, under the control of transnational bankers, the lead of the Western Global Project, obviously, will try to get him out of the White House. Speaking clearly, after Trump does something reprehensible like killing peaceful and unarmed, again, quote-unquote, protesters, or rather the murders are going to be carried out by Trump's opponents, but they're going to blame it on Trump. And I remind you of Maidan in Kyiv, Ukraine, the massacre of hundreds of people, which was carried out by the organizer, that is, supporters of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and not by the people of the legitimate president of Ukraine, Yanukovych, at the time.
Let me interject. This is important. Are you saying that with the thing in Virginia, this may be that flashpoint? I don't quite understand.
It may be the flashpoint. point. I'm just explaining the mechanism of the revolution.
Okay.
You know, the actual points of who, when, and where, it's irrelevant because, I mean, they have so many scenarios and ways to get this done. Okay, so the first step is, again, you kill as many people as you can, okay, or you get the people out there and you start shooting them. The snipers, which are allegedly, you know, for example, in Iraq and Iran, allegedly killing the demonstrators, these are the people put there by the CIA, not by the government itself. So the next step, Nancy Pelosi will call Vice President Pence and ask him to take over because, quote-unquote, President Trump with his actions betrayed the trust of the American people, or fill whatever thing you want to say there. This appeal must be carried out under the watchful eye of mainstream media around the world. And in the case of Pence, if he says no, if he doubts, then Pelosi will announce that she, as the president of the House of Representatives, assumes power, again, quote-unquote, for the good of the nation and full compliance with the Constitution of the United States. At the same time, Trump, whose abilities to influence the media and above all TV channels is limited at best, okay, he has no chance of actually getting his side of the story. So what you're looking at is, in fact, a coup d'etat. Question, how can Trump be removed from the White House in such a situation and limit his opportunities in the media? Answer, for this, the financial liberals could, for example, organize mass demonstration with the participation of hundreds of thousands of people, which we know is easily done. We have seen it done before, which would require, based on the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which establishes the right of people to lead an armed uprising if the U.S. government seriously violates the rights of the Americans and the Constitution, eliminate Trump from power as a person who does not fulfill the interests of the people and a usurper of power. Ideally, they should gather a couple of million people in a square in front of the White House, which is what that, you know, big march was all about when Trump became president. You know, these crazy people, you know, coming to Washington from all corners of the United States. That was a trial run. I don't think you need a couple of million people. I think, you know, remember the Million Men March? Well, you can get a million people, okay, rile them up enough, get them to come to the United to Washington, and they must start their assault. With this distribution, the options are either they hand over the White House immediately, or the Patriots protect it, and as a consequence, you have this mountain of corpse, okay, defenders of liberties and the Constitution, and will appear on television screens across the world. But even if the people who, the Patriots, decide not to defend the White House, to avoid the killings and the spilling of blood, the very liberal financiers, just like they did in Kiev and Ukraine and Libya and Syria and Egypt, they will do everything necessary to make sure that you have enough dead on the street. That is, by the time that the crowd gathers, Trump should no longer be in the White House. But if Trump is not around, what would prevent Pelosi from triumphantly walking into the White House? In addition, we know this, the intelligence services of the former President Obama will almost certainly help Pelosi. I remind you that after winning the elections, Trump refused to use the bodyguards of Obama's Secret Service, and he had the opportunity to change them for his own people. Now, some may say that, wait a minute, Trump has the nuclear codes, but Pelosi doesn't need atomic weapons. She doesn't even need controlling the army. All she needs to do is to walk into the press conference or give a press conference in the Oval Office of the White House and take a presidential oath. And for the latter, however, we need the president of the Supreme Court, who most likely is in favor of Donald Trump, since he's a conservative. But we know that he may die suddenly, or that they will not be able to find him at a certain time in general, or Washington Post may suddenly publish some salacious photos of him dressed in a Mickey Mouse outfit, spanking some underage girl in her butt. There are many options to make him disappear. And if the oath is publicly accepted, and even several foreign states attend the oath, what's her name, Pelosi, take taking the oath. And again, remember, many of foreign state leaders, they openly despise Trump. Canada, France, Spain, Germany, etc., etc. And they will support the new president, quote-unquote. Okay, and here is the same script as we have seen, for example, with the usurper Guaido in Venezuela. Then the image will look even more compelling if you have Justin Trudeau, the president of France, the chancellor of Germany, they're all there solemnly saying, yes, Pelosi is the new president. Now, the question is how to get people to come together. And here, too, everything is very simple. At the right time, as a scenario, no? For example, Thanksgiving 2020. In the liberal cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, New York, Washington, etc., gigantic demonstrations come together. In addition, from the cities that are close enough to Washington, the popular columns, quote-unquote, will depart in the direction of the White House. We have seen this modus operandi in all-color revolutions throughout the world. Next, call to action of the many hundreds of thousands that come to the White House from all corners of the country. They're different techniques, but they're all part of the hybrid warfare 5.0. And here, Trump will have to do something. Does he let them pass? But here you will have several excesses, even with numerous fatalities counting in hundreds of thousands, which will actively disseminate it throughout mass disinformation in the media. Okay? In addition, where there will be victims, they will undoubtedly find Putin's agents, Erdogan's agents, the mullah's agents, Chinese agents, etc., etc. I repeat, the technology has been tested. Hong Kong, Kiev, Cairo, Tripoli, Caracas, etc., etc. So if Trump barricades himself in the White House, then he faces an assault by hundreds of thousands of enraged Clintonoids. It is impossible to stop a million people without victim, especially if there are people especially trained to cause harm. And if Trump is in the White House at that time, he's exposed to the enraged mass. And don't tell me that the Clintonoids will not want to do to Trump what they did to Gaddafi in 2011. If Trump runs away from the White House, then his opponents will have their hands untied in part of the scenario described above, with Pelosi walking in and proclaiming solemnly that she's the new president. It is worth noting that Trump is very likely not to have time to organize a counter-demonstration. His supporters do not yet believe that his liberal opponents are ready to destroy the country. And they are ready because their main task, and by that I don't mean the Clintonoids or the minced beef who is going to be actually going there, who will be cut down in the name of freedom and democracy. I'm talking about the banking cartel. The main task is to find some corner on planet Earth where the liberal banking financier cartel is guaranteed security after the bankruptcy of the world markets. Trump's America is not a good place to hide after bankruptcy. Putin's Russia, less so China, let's just leave it there. So they only have the European Union left, but only on the condition that NATO infrastructure passes under the control of Brussels and the liberal financiers and not Donald Trump. So what do liberals have to do to get it? The right thing for them would be or seize power in Washington or even eliminate the United States as a factor and a country, which means you fracture the country. And if the scenario described above or something similar occurs, then in the United States, there will be two presidents, each of whom will raise the National Guard in those states where their own governors will begin a full-fledged civil war. We talked about this 1 year ago. Someone will say that this is a scenario, you know, for conspiracy theorists. It's too fatalistic, etc., etc. Let's recognize one thing. No Democratic candidate today is capable of winning the elections against Donald Trump. None. And for too long, the American elite, the deep state, lived in peace and harmony because they controlled the dialectic of the planetary economic model, as I explained in the first part. No more. For too long, everyone believed that there could not be a public process against this liberal banking elite. And therefore, they committed several very dubious acts throughout the world. They killed hundreds of millions of people. In Russia alone, between 1989 and 1996, 25 million people died as a result. They committed suicide. They dragged themselves to death as a result of the liberal banking financier model taking hold of the country. Well, let's imagine, for example, so what can Trump do? What are these people afraid of? Let's imagine that Epstein pedophile material is in Trump's hands, or some other similar material such as truth about 9/11, the murder of JFK, the $21 trillion stolen by the deep state and used in black operations, etc., etc. The situation itself in which a public confrontation can begin for these people is unacceptable. They simply cannot wait any longer. I'm talking about the liberal financiers. The risks against them have become too great. Most likely, or they decide to do something now to knock Trump out, because again, it is they who forced Trump, because it's a London operation. Maybe we can talk about it next time. The whole thing about killing Soleimani, that was London. They put Trump in the position where he knocked him off. But the thing is, the visible face of non-systemic alternative power or slowly crawl into the cemetery because they'll simply be all killed. They have no other options. And the scenario described, by the way, is quite safe for the organizers. People on their own, voluntarily, because of the visceral hatred they feel for Trump, which is a product of relentless campaign in the mass media since 2015, they will go to Washington and the White House. Trump himself will even declare or not declare a state of emergency. Both options have their advantages. While the Democrats and Republicans, since they're all part of the same anti-Trump conspiracy, will insist that they have the right to act in this way to safeguard the country and defend the Constitution. Have we seen this before? Of course. Jacobin terror in the French Revolution, remote controls from London by the British Empire. Of course, if Trump wins the elections, the liberals in 2020 will pay dearly for their betrayal of the Republic. But who is to say that they will win if they can remove it beforehand? Finally, I have insisted on this bone-chilling scenario more than once. At the same time, Daniel, avoiding absolutely incredible designs such as theft of nuclear weapons and their use in American cities for the same resistance, I propose to discuss and analyze it from this vantage point, since it is possible that we have approached such a position, development of the situation, in which this scenario becomes very realistic, at least for now, which is why, again, we're looking at it as something more than doable by the liberal banking financier cartel.
All right, pause. I'm going to ask you a few questions here, and I just give me quick answers. Is this you coming up with this, kind of putting things together on your own? Are you using other people's intelligence? Is Russian intelligence
you're
using
that way?
I'm a doctor
of conceptual intelligence. What we do is we create models that define the future. We don't need to define the future of thousands.
Is this you, or are you working? Are you coming up with this by yourself, or with Russia?
A year or two in advance. It's easy to see. I mean, back in 2014, I said that Trump was going to be president of the United States 8 months before he decided to run. Because, again, it wasn't hard to figure it out. You have the liberals who cannot be allowed to be presidents because they'll destroy whatever is left. So you have to look for someone from the other group.
All right.
And you start
looking
at the choices. And the choice that I had was Trump.
Okay, hold on, hold right there, quick. We have very few time, just quick answers. This is very provocative, very important. Virginia right now, the situation in Virginia with the guns, with the demonstrations about Second Amendment, if that goes south, Trump is not going to be vulnerable. Trump is going to gain more power because that's going to embolden half of America to get behind the Second Amendment even more. That's going to strengthen
because,
Trump.
The problem is, I think the half of America who is behind the Second Amendment, the Patriots, they don't believe none of the stuff is real. They think that the other side, they're just crazies. They are crazy.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Behind them, you have the global liberal financiers whose need is to destroy the United States as a nation state, because they know that if Trump is out, they can go after Russia, they can go after China, and
okay.
they can do everything in their power to get the liberal roller back. They won't be able to because the model is dead. So their only alternative is thermonuclear wars, which they've been trying to do in the Middle East.
Okay.
Because a thermonuclear war, yes, it kills 6 billion people. They don't care about killing billions.
Yeah, they don't. They want to stay in power. They're crazy. They're out of their
mind. And for them to do that, a global war writes off debts and responsibilities. Because you can't pay back $4 quadrillion. You simply can't do that. That's
okay.
4 and 15 zeros. You can't do that.
Daniel, hold on. Hold on.
Order
hold
is
on. Hold on. This is extremely provocative. This is extremely disturbing for most of our audience telling us. Hold on. Virginia right now is a flashpoint. I know. Look, I have a sense of America. If this goes south in Virginia somehow and something happens or whatever, the people with the conviction, all of the moral high ground will be put, it would be very difficult to take it away from the constitutionalists and from Donald Trump. It would spin it towards him. Now, I'm not saying that what you're not, I'm saying
I could. You have half of the country who viscerally despises Trump, and they will do anything in their power to get rid of him. Which means you're going to have a civil war, as I said a year ago, between the America that believes in America as a nation state and those who believe in America belonging to the global financial cartel. And most of these people, they don't understand it because they simply don't understand that there's something behind them working the system towards that conclusion. But it is working, and you could see it. You don't need to be an expert. You just see the confrontation in Los Angeles, in Oregon, in Washington, in New York City, anywhere where there's somebody with a MAGA hat, they get spat on, because there's a reason for this. And it's done on a hybrid warfare 5.0 level.
How confident, I will say the confidence is the wrong word. Okay, I can see this break it down. I can see what you're saying happening. I can see it. It won't be turned like you're saying. It will have to be turned away from the Second Amendment issue for this to be the issue. This cannot be the issue. It'll have to be morphed into something else, and then that turns into demonstrations which march on.
The state understands they have all the levers of control. If this doesn't work in Virginia, they'll try something else somewhere else. Who is to say that they're not going to steal a micronuclear bomb and explode it over Seattle? They're going to blame it on Trump and the crazies in the government and the people who are, pro-guns. Who's to say that that's not going to be done?
It
can easily
you...
be done because, again, the liberal, global liberal cartel, their objective is to destroy the United States as a nation state. That's
what
the
is
only
the percentage?
Way they can survive. By
can you put a percentage
America.
On this? Put a percentage on your scenario.
I don't know. I don't want to put a percentage. But, again, when you're looking at a viable conceptual scenarios, to me, it's very, very, very easily foreseeable. If the Virginia doesn't work, it may be a trial balloon. They want to see how it plays out.
I would. I agree with that.
The discontent of the people. They want to see how many patriots come out and support it.
I agree with that.
Okay, they play with percentages. They have 100 scenarios written down. Okay, in Virginia, in Oregon, in Florida, in Texas, and whether it's the illegal immigrants, whether it's children being caged, whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. Trump is up against a global financial cartel, just like Russia is, just like China is. They've controlled the global affairs since 1991. And the model that they control is on its deathbed, which means because they have no more mission center under their control because Trump runs the White House. They're between a rock and a hard place.
We have literally a minute, and I know this is not enough time. It's absolutely stunning to be with you and to discuss this with you. Our people who are listening, you have 1 minute. What would you tell them? What do they need to do right now? What can they do? You got 30 seconds.
They have to, first of all, cooler heads must prevail. They have to understand conceptual plan, why this is being done. Do not react viscerally, because again, the people who run the show, they want you to react viscerally, gun blazing, which means that a lot of people are going to be killed, which means that the deep state is going to take control of the White House, again, quote unquote, to preserve American sovereignty and the constitutional crisis averted, because we're going to put Nancy Pelosi as the president of the United States.
Wow. Always a pleasure. English.danielesslund.com.
I would put Nancy Pelosi in prison. But you can't do that because you live in this thing called democracy.
No, it's not a democracy. No. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic.
We live in a republic. But you still have checks and balances. Put her in prison.
Well, it's against the law what they're doing, Daniel. They're lawless. I mean, if somebody's lawless, they're lawless. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday. Great show Monday. Make sure you're there. Hey, stay there, Daniel. Don't go anywhere. Stay there.